Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey guys, just a little reminder up the top of the episode that Saturday, July 14th. In the city of Melbourne.
Melbourne.
At 4 p.m.
4 p.m.
at the European Beer Cafe. European Beer Cafe.
Fucking.
That's you. Did you mean to do that at 4 p.m.?
Oh, no. Oh. I was just saying 4, but with the monster truck voice.
Yeah.
I saw a real life monster truck in Thailand. Anyway.
Did you 4 really?
PM. Yeah. There was one in a side street. 4 p.m., Saturday, July 14th, European Beer Cafe. We've got a live show.
Yeah. It's going to be a comedy show where we're on stage talking about video games and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's going to be good. You can book tickets through filthycasuals.com.au, I believe.
Yes.
It'll probably be a whole bunch of stuff that will not make it to the feed of this. It's going to be an actual live show.
Yes.
So if you're thinking like, hey, I'm going to pull one over on these guys. I'm not going to buy a ticket and then I'm just going to get it for free.
Yeah.
Well, too bad.
Yeah.
We've figured that out.
Yes.
We've figured out your scheme.
We've put an anti-piracy lock on our show. Come check that
D-R-M-M-M-M-M.
If you're under 18, get a parent or guardian to come with you because it's at a pub.
Yep.
Bring your mom. She'd appreciate spending time with her child.
Yeah.
That's another great scam we've pulled, putting it in a licensed venue so that all our young fans have to come with their parents.
Even if you don't come with them, at least give them a call.
Yeah, call your mum.
Yeah.
Filthycasuals.com.au for tickets. We are looking forward to it. Looking forward to meeting the filth. We've got a lot of fun stuff planned. So, come on down. Good morning, video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always...
Hello, filthy animals. My name is Ben Vanell, and with me as always...
I'm drinking coffee. My name's Adam Knox.
I thought
you might have had a new catchphrase or something.
I did have a think earlier today. I got nothing new. Just hello, filthy animals.
The idea of sitting around trying to think of a catchphrase is the saddest, like, Little Britain thing.
Just the idea of you, though. Well, he's starting to introduce me. Better take a sip.
No, well, because I wanted to have a sip before I had to start talking because
with
now I'm going to have enormous swaths of time that I'm going to have to carry this shit for.
It's true. We do rely on you to drag us through the muck here.
Yes. Have another
anyway, let's give you a little. Let's give him a little. Ben, let's chat amongst ourselves.
Okay.
Let's let this fucking.
You want to hear some of
this fucking beanhead over here chow down on his big mug of Java.
We can't talk to him before.
Oh, that's good. Fuck. I was going to say Java, and you said Java.
Joe.
Okay. Yeah. We'll give you another.
Okay. Okay. We'll just talk again while he drinks. Second mug of coffee.
You can't talk to him before he's had his coffee.
No. Exactly.
That's a good cup of gin, Joe.
There's gin in it. We're all getting really drunk. It's a Wednesday night. We're partying. Boys, good to be back.
I did a little bit last night because it was the World Cup.
Yes. Oh, you sat up and got blind to watch us lose, drop out of the World Cup?
Yeah. I didn't get blind, but it definitely, like, it turned real foggy during it as well.
Like, oh, yeah.
The weather was... changing according to how well we were doing in the game.
Oh, I thought you meant that Optus.
It's all because of what was happening in my mind.
Yes.
I thought you meant that Optus broadcast fucked up again.
Oh, no. Because I was away for that.
Yeah.
The Optus stuff. We were both away.
Yeah. What happened? They fucked up the stream and then, like, immediately their Facebook page for Optus starts getting bombarded by angry Serbians and Costa Ricans.
Yeah, and the Prime Minister had to step in. At least to say, hey guys, can you fix it? And then they didn't fix it.
Mm.
But yeah, you guys step out of the country and everything goes to shit.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I was important.
Well, I left Optus.
I need more coffee. Hold on. Give me,
I left Optus a little while ago. I think they're still, you know, I think it's that loss of my $100 a month that, you know, really heavily damaged their infrastructure and being allowed to.
For your phone.
I know. Yeah. That's why I left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
You know what? They're trying to drag me back in. I'm on Virgin Mobile.
Yes. And what about your phone provider?
Sounds almost too good to be true.
And they are owned by Optus. Mm. Optus are shutting down Virgin as a brand, and they're making me go back on Optus.
Really? Oh,
that happened with Three to Vodafone
as well. Yes, it did. And it, to me as well. I was on Three twice now.
Were you with Orange? I was with Orange turned into Three.
Never with Orange.
I went from Orange to Three to Vodafone.
Wow.
Which will at some point end up being probably Optus as well. Yeah. They'll get bought out.
Yeah, and you're one of those rogue agents that have gone over to fucking Kogan or something, haven't you?
Yep. A little company by the name of Kogan. You're
this
right.
SIM card that costs $5 a month from Aldi.
Yes.
The only problem with it is that now that I'm leaving Australia more regularly than I ever have before, it doesn't have roaming.
Twice a year.
In any way. Three times.
Oh, a lady.
No, I went back onto Vodafone for that reason and that reason alone. Yeah. Global roaming being easy.
I kind of need to get a new phone too. So if anyone out there has any suggestions for a good phone that I can get at a decent rate on a monthly plan thing.
In Australia.
You're too big to say it, so I'll say it for you. If anyone has a phone that they would like to give to Adam, he will gladly accept it.
I am 100% not accepting anything from any of the listeners of this show that it contains a hard drive.
What about how, I always thought this was a crazy move, the phones that you would get from Three. They were like three branded phones.
Yeah I had one.
I always thought that was
shittest logo.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
The little three with like the tiger stripe markings.
Yeah,
on it.
The gall of that company to just go, you can have a phone, but everyone is gonna know when they look at your little flip phone from the outside, they're gonna know that you're living large on our data. Mm. You piece of shit.
I hate carrying a bag that says JB Hi-Fi on it or anything. Mm. I don't like having any sort of branding. That like it's and it's clever to use you as a free billboard. Mm,
yes,
but when's it gonna stop?
I agree.
That, probably.
Yeah, probably at that.
I just hate walking out of a shop with a bag of stuff. Like driving to a shop and having it in the back of the car, great. But being on a tram, fear of like bumping into someone that I know. I don't know. It just seems a little. You know. Yes, I've been out purchasing some luxury items that I absolutely do not need.
Yeah. I remember once I got caught on a tram with two burritos.
You couldn't open the door because your hands were full.
I just didn't fit out of it because I'd eaten two burritos. Yeah. But friend of the show, Timothy Clark, saw me, and I think someone else was with him, saw me. And you could see through the bag and see it was clearly two burritos.
Oh, wow.
I was like, is that two burritos? I was like, I must have grabbed the wrong one.
This bag's meant to have three in it.
I hate, because I don't drive, I just can't own certain things.
Yeah, sure.
Like,
yeah.
I can't buy a chest of drawers.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I can't get...
Air conditioner.
It's like a whole fucking to-do for me to do that. I've got to steal a trolley from somewhere, push it all the way over the trolley.
And then dump it off on a nature strip at some point.
I've got to ditch that troll.
You got to.
When I bought my PlayStation 4, I went home on the tram with it. And, you know, there's that extra, extra, extra big JB Hi-Fi bag that they give you for purchases
that
like that.
Humans can fit in.
Oh, and sitting on the tram with that, it's just like, please mug me. Someone please bash me and steal this bag that's clearly got a, you know, it's not like there's a something in there that costs $20 that's fitting in that bag. Yeah. It's like, this is a high ticket item.
And if it's from JB Hi-Fi, you know it's something you don't need.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But I need this for my podcast where we talk about video games.
I'm going to bash you harder now.
I get teased for only having a Wii U.
I still had that pang the other day because I bought Mario Tennis Aces and I bought Kirby as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I still had the pang walking up to the counter of going like,
I'm lame.
Oh my god, yeah. That's me. But then try throwing a few amiibo on the top as well.
Oh,
Jesus Christ!
Yeah. You gotta order that shit online, man.
I wish I had the gall of someone who could just buy a Fleshlight in person.
Ooh. Yeah,
I want to be. I don't want to be that person, but I want to be able to do that if I wanted to.
If you just make yourself do that, I think it'd be pretty liberating. Because once you do that, don't you think you could do anything?
No.
If you could get over the stigma of that, I think you'd then be invincible.
I think
in terms of how you behave in public.
It would make me even weaker. Because it would happen, and then every time I had any interaction that was nothing to do with it ever again, they'd be like, I wonder if this person saw me buying that Fleshlight.
Oh, really?
Definitely.
I think
there's nothing wrong with owning a Fleshlight, I guess.
I think I'm more on Tommy's side, where it's like you've broken the social contract.
Yes.
Now you can do anything. That's how you become a supervillain.
No, exactly. If you just punch someone in the face, you're not suddenly like, hey, I'm the king of the world.
Well,
actually, I don't know. Maybe that is how it works.
That's how Rocky started, isn't it?
Oh, shit.
My parents packed up my room for me while I was overseas. I moved out of my house while I was overseas recently.
Mm.
And they...
So suspicious.
So, I know.
Your parents packing away all your amiibo going, where did we go wrong?
Exactly. So they did it. They haven't said anything about it, but I know as soon as they see a parking fine or whatever that I haven't paid, that's when it's going to come back. You can afford all your little fucking toys on your mantelpiece, but you can't afford this $79 for parking in a handicapped spot for 6 months.
It was either parking or Meta Knight. I made the right decision, Mum.
I don't have Meta Knight. I'd love Meta Knight. Similar to Adam with the phone, if you have a Meta Knight amiibo that you don't want, I'll gladly accept it.
And once again, I don't want your old phone. I'm just looking to get a phone.
Oh, dear.
And to get a little bit. You know what I use my phone for often?
Here we go.
Looking at video game news.
Oh, yes. I was going to say, it's been so long since we actually recorded.
I know.
And we're 9 minutes in. So obviously we've covered heaps of video games news by now. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Just bags. Just shopping bags.
I mean, we're just catching up on the big news. I mean, we want to talk about bags because while me and Adam were gone, plastic bags in supermarkets now outlawed in this country.
Yeah.
It's like coming out of the weirdest cryogenic sleep. It's just like imagine if you'd been in a coma and you come out and that's the one thing about the world that's Trump's still in, this stuff's still going on. You got to take your own canvas bag.
What are children and pets accidentally going to asphyxiate themselves with now? Amiibo, I guess.
Yeah.
Carried home in your old... I had to buy my first set of reusable bags the other day and it felt good.
Mm. Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice having a bag that you're like, that's my bag.
Yeah.
Hands off, Buster.
Watch the merchandising of tote bags just absolutely take off now in this city now that
we should make a tote bag.
We should. Yeah. Everyone should be making a tote bag.
I think we already have. I think technically you can probably buy one from Redbubble where our products are. I'll double check this before this episode goes out.
And
by the time you're hearing this, you will be able to buy a tote bag.
What if we make one that says Filthy Casuals is totes cool?
Or we end the podcast.
We find one of the last plastic bags remaining, shove it down our own throats, and do what should have been done years ago.
Is this meant to be a thing? I went to the supermarket the other day and I could get it. I had to pay for it, but I could get a plastic bag.
Yes, yeah, you can
now
still pay for it.
Is this phase one where eventually it's going to be you can't even pay for the plastic bag?
Yeah, I think end of next year, all reusable, no, non-reusable, sorry, plastic bags are gone.
Yeah,
right.
Because Coles is doing it July 1st as well.
Yeah.
And it's good.
It's great.
I was going to say, this probably isn't interesting to our international listeners, but I would go so far as to say it's not even interesting to our listeners in Melbourne.
Sure.
Directly affected by the news that we're talking about.
Yeah, something they checked on Twitter and went, oh, okay. Moved on with their day.
Most people, there are some people who are very fucking angry about it, though.
Mm.
And it's like the older, there's an overlap for some reason between the people who were like, don't fucking let the gays marry.
Yes.
And the my bags.
I think it's the people who just don't want change.
Yeah.
Just keep everything the same as I remember when I was happy 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. Except then those people were also like, get rid of the 5 cent. I saw this comment on Facebook. Do you remember when we were going to get rid of the 5 cent coin? People talking about it.
But we should.
I vaguely do, yeah.
There's no need for it. You don't need a 5 cent coin.
Mm.
And there was my favorite Facebook comment I've ever seen was about this discussion of whether or not to get rid of the 5 cent coin. And it said, all notes, no coins, go Bombers.
I agree. I reckon
go
the
Bombers.
Smallest note should be no coins, then the smallest note is a 20. The cheapest thing that you can buy in this country should be $20.
Well, I'm in favor of no cash at all. So, if it's going to make it hard for people to use cash, I'm in favor.
Mm.
Digital only. Upload me to a computer. Let's get it done.
I want only cash so that nobody can get their sneaky digital mitts on it.
Ooh.
I've still got heaps of Thai cash in my wallet.
Nice.
One of those currencies where it's like, one bottle of water, that'll be 4,000 of our local dollars. Thanks. Yes. Anyway.
Speaking of digital.
Yes.
Digital.
Yes.
Video games are digital. Mm-hmm. And, the biggest news of the week is, I reckon, the cross-play stuff.
Yeah.
Between Microsoft and Nintendo. There was that weird ad that went out that was kind of both of them. This mm-hmm. And it's all to do with Fortnite.
Yes.
There are other games that are involved in this, but Fortnite is so massive.
Fortnite launched on the Switch, like, right after Nintendo's E3 presentation. Yeah. So that's a couple of weeks ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And the news was, you could play with people on Xbox, but not people on PS4.
So it's even more complicated than that. It's fucked. So you
have an account thing that you can't use on Nintendo if you've got it tethered to your PS4.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. If you've ever used your Epic account on the PS4 and linked it on there, then and Epic is a company who makes Fortnite. I'm not just saying it's a great account in one language.
that's what else changed when you've been gone. Epic is now cool again.
Oh,
it's
nice.
The word.
Oh, Epic, man. For the win.
Yeah. God, take me back.
So if you've ever used it on there, then it won't let you play Fortnite on an Xbox or a Switch or the PC mm-hmm. with that same thing.
But Sony, if you've used that account, if you've used that account on an Xbox, you can still use it on a Switch. It's just the PS4 that...
Just the PS4.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And it's
right.
Sony. There's no technical reason for this.
They
and
just don't... Yeah.
Apparently, at some point, Epic accidentally flipped on the servers so that crossplay was enabled between the PS4 and everything else.
Right.
So, and they did it by mistake, they say. Yeah. But it proves that we've got it done. Mm. The technology is there. It's literally Sony being cunts.
Yeah, right.
Because this has been simmering for a while. Like, they've said this in the past about other things. Maybe Rocket League was
I think Rocket League was a big one.
Mm. Yeah.
And there have been other things where, just like your Call of Duties and whatever, where it's like, why can't we do cross-play?
Yeah.
Because so many different people have these different things now. It's the exact same games coming out for everything these days. And it serves Sony, or it has done until this point, to go like, nope, everybody has to have a PS4.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea, obviously, is to make it so that if you want to play with your friends, you've all got to have PS4s.
Yeah, and which tied in with like a really strong exclusive lineup and single-player focused game strategy is like, it's probably why they're winning this generation.
And them winning the generation also allows them to have that arrogance.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because they're not so worried about it.
Yeah, and you know what? People being really, really overconfident never comes back to bite them.
No, and it's never happened with Sony in the past either. Like, this is exactly the sort of shit that was between the PS2 and PS3.
Mm. It's kind of like, we talked about it when it happened, like whatever it was, 2 months ago when Xbox announced that accessibility pad, which is like a controller for like, if you don't have full mobility of both your hands or for whatever else.
Yeah.
Which is like, so something that's not been done before, at least not by a first party, and like a great...
I'm not sure if there's been things, I think.
Little things here and there, but like for the actual people who make the console to be like, make this big play into accessibility and for everyone to be able to play the games. Like, so that being done on that scale and that being the first time that's happened, then immediately makes every other company look like an asshole for not following suit.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if that starts to happen pretty quickly. And it's kind of the same with this. Like, just by being left behind and left out of it, like, if you're not going to catch up, every minute that goes past is just another minute where you just look like a fucking huge piece of shit company.
Completely.
For not doing it.
And we had this discussion at the time around that accessibility thing about whether or not sort of seemingly... what's the word?
Video game?
No. It's a big word.
Computer game.
But I'm trying to find a smaller word for philanthropic.
Yes.
Seemingly philanthropic things might be like corporate cynicism of like, this will make our company look good.
Yes.
It doesn't really matter either way because it's the same effect.
The end result is a person who needs it has got it.
Exactly. Yeah. So even if it is a calculated gross move, then who cares?
Because
it's ultimately benefiting people. And so whether or not Microsoft and Sony would have, Microsoft and Nintendo would have done this had they not been in the runner-up positions, who knows? But again, it's the same thing where, like, it should be the way that everybody should be able to play with everyone. And so the Fortnite thing, because that game's so fucking weirdly massive.
Well, that's the other thing that ties in is that, yeah, like, it makes commercial sense for Microsoft and Nintendo to do this to make themselves at least two-thirds of the market joined together.
Yeah.
To take advantage of this.
For a thing that will eventually just be commonplace. This will happen. The Games Pass kind of thing is another great example of it. Yeah. It's like, this is the way things 5-10 years will just all be this way, and there won't be any discussion about it. It'll just be, this is how things are done now.
Yeah.
So why not get in on the ground floor and just be part of leading the change rather than looking obsolete by
They're
default.
Already mattering less and less, and like the iPhone is a massive, and phones in general are turning into this huge viable platform.
You shook yours at me as if I'd never heard
I waved
one
it at you.
Huh? Ooh.
iPhone.
Ooh, Peppa Pig's on there.
But like it is getting to a point where just sort of everything will be capable of playing games.
Yeah.
And there, like you say, there won't be any discussion around it. And these companies like Sony and like Apple as well have been weird with that, with
the
Steam
closed ecosystem.
They're starting to look like dinosaurs, and people aren't sort of copping to it in the way that we have done in the past.
Well, I bought the Apple Watch, and I was previously a Spotify subscriber, but you can't use Spotify on the Apple Watch because they want to drive everyone over to their
to Apple Music. Music which is far inferior.
Spotify is so much inferior.
Yeah.
But, you know, I kind of, I don't know, I'm into my, like, I get it. It's like, it's their thing. It's all there. But at the other time, on the other hand, it's like, come on. Like, just fucking.
That's all fine if their product is on par with the competing product.
Yeah.
Like, I was always an iPhone user. I was like, I like it. It's at least on par with Android systems. It's fine. But then, stuff like this, Microsoft being third in the pack and having to innovate so much is going to benefit them in the next generation.
Absolutely. Yeah. You boys play that Fortnite at all?
I still haven't played it once, no.
Yeah, I've played it. I played it on the PS4.
I got it on Switch and played about 5 minutes of it. Boy, it really, I thought there'd be, you know, a lot of those things, there's like a little dummy like tutorial thing that you do before you go in. Oh, brother.
Oh, no.
No, it just drops you right in there.
Literally. Yeah.
Well, yeah. It seems like it could be fun. I just don't know what I'm doing.
I really don't like the art style of it. And it's the same art style that's been in the sort of Clash, or similar to like Clash of Clans and whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't know why all these things that have this art style or this type of art style are so popular, because it looks fucking shit.
It's very appy. Yeah. It's very DreamWorks, like watered down DreamWorks-y.
Is it a generational thing? No. Surely.
I don't know. I mean, it's popular enough that, you know, a lot of people presumably don't care.
Yeah.
I guess if people just not giving a shit about that aspect of it anyway, because it just looks, I hate all the character design.
Ironically, as I was saying that, you looked at me with one eyebrow raised quizzically, not unlike the style of character design of this very game we're talking about.
Yes. On my way here, I fell off of the crescent moon outside. They don't fall off at the start, the fisher person.
Yeah, he has a fish.
But in one of them, the fisher guy must. Fisher. Mm. It's like a baby fishing off of
in
the
Shrek,
moon.
Maybe?
One of the, there'd be one DreamWorks movie where it's like, whoa!
But yeah, it's like got this weird, and the way all the characters look, and it's like kind of, but there's no context for what this game is.
The context is there is a single player game called Fortnite. This is just Battle Royale.
Right.
But the actual context is we want to do PUBG with the existing art style.
Yeah.
And we're not going to tell you how to play because we've stolen this off PUBG.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Like, that's kind of it, I think.
That'd be great if it just loaded in, like, literally just the PUBG tutorial loads up. Then you do that, then you're in Fortnite.
No tutorial for PUBG either. Or there might be in it now, actually. I'm not really sure. I've kind of checked out of all that stuff for a while now. But
Had it for Fortnite 5 minutes, deleted it straight off the hard drive.
Crossplay should happen, and I don't think Sony have said anything yet.
Yes, I think you're right. Yeah.
So, I would be very surprised. And it's so, remember, like, the whole thing that got them into the position they are with the PS4 was them going, like, opposite of what the Xbox One was positioning itself as, which was like all the games are tied to your account, you can't share and blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And then for Sony to kind of do this 180 during this generation is like, is the one who's at the top of the pack just always going to be arrogant about it?
I think so. Isn't that, that's history has proven that.
Yeah, I get, because Nintendo did that as well by going like, nah, we've got this quality control shit and you need to, you can only have a certain number of things, and then the PS1 beat them for that kind of reason.
Yep.
And so on and so on. It's, yeah, it's weird. Anyway.
It's going to make for an interesting next generation though.
Yeah.
Surely Sony are going to get on board by that point. They'll be like, yeah, cross-play, yeah, games, Game Pass equivalent. Like, it would be crazy if everyone didn't do that in the next 2 to 3 years.
Maybe.
3 years, I guess.
And then, like, beyond that, it's going to be the sort of thing where, like, what the fuck is a video game console?
Yes.
Is everything streaming? Are we subscribing to the PlayStation Netflix version and the Xbox Netflix version?
Yeah, I think when they do, yeah, that'll be the big thing when they reveal the new consoles, more than just, like, here's the technological upgrades or, like, what the controller can do. It'll be, like, that the big focus will be on here's how you're going to actually get the games.
Yeah.
That's the next big leap, I reckon.
A little bit of that conversation kicked off in our Facebook group, and I listened to another podcast that discussed this.
How dare you? No crossplay.
Was it the Little Dum Dum Club?
Yes. They discussed this from their developers, and so they had a bit of a back door into this discussion of, like, what would make sense is... Now I
there's that raised eyebrow again.
I've said virgin and backdoor this episode. I'm going for a bingo. What is likely is that games won't be they won't be based on, like, the power of the console or the graphics the developers can achieve. It'll be how fast can the servers of the developer stream the game to your window. Yeah,
which is a scary thing living in Australia to think that
absolutely.
That's the direction
we're
it's
fucked.
Going.
Yeah.
Like, there's enough video games that exist now that, okay,
sure.
If I can't ever play any of the ones you're making for America and Japan and wherever in the future, then I guess I'll be happy with Spyro.
You'll be happy with the best of Billy Joel. You know how, like, people just check out a music at some point?
Yeah.
That's what will be. Yeah.
Actually, that's interesting. People who are gamers kind of typically stay gamers for life. Mm. You know, people who, like, listen to Triple J, like the radio station, you're like, it was better 10 years ago. Like, no one sits around and goes, you know, these new games, these kids now, they put it on the TV and it's all just boom, boom, this and fucking...
I'm kind of like that with Fortnite, though, and it's the sort of thing of, like, I prefer single-player games, kind of the same thing.
I guess,
There's just not been long enough for people to get crotchety yet, but I feel like I'm starting to get crotchety.
Did you guys see the...
Bingo.
I saw a thing online the other day of, like, and it's obviously fake, but a supposed leak of the design of the PlayStation 5. It's pretty funny because in that same post that I saw, there was then a thing going through of, like, before the PS4 had come out, like, the fake leaks that people did of it, and also the Xbox 720.
Yes.
And it's so funny because, like, they all...
God, I wish they'd have called it the Xbox 720. Yeah,
I know. They all look insane. Like, they're all just like, it's, oh, the console's a fucking orb that you put in your mouth. Like, they're all the most wild designs. But then clearly people have learnt, like, okay, well, that's not the way to fool people.
Yeah.
So this, like, fake leak of the PlayStation 5 just literally looks like the PlayStation 4... but with just, like, the edges of the console are a bit more rounded.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's, like, a little bit small. It's like, so you just know now you can't be too crazy with your fake things because people just spot it a mile off.
That
it's
is
like,
what's going to happen, though. It always goes squared, rounded.
Yeah, yeah.
Every sort of new phase of technology, it's just that cycle again and again.
Fuck. Yeah. If that's what design has been, like, reduced down to now.
That's all it is. Bring in a triangle.
Yes. Or fucking get the orb going. I need an orb.
I remember, like, in the early 2000s as well, there were all these orb things of what the next Nintendo one was going to be.
Yeah.
And they always look shit because it would roll all about the fucking place.
Yeah.
Dumbest idea.
Like, LG made a couple of shitty stereos that were orbs and no one liked them.
Because you can't stack shit on top of them. Yes. It's just this huge waste of space. Like, oh, cool, a fishbowl.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why the GameCube is the most genius console design of all time. It's a perfect cube.
You can build a house out of them.
With a handle on it.
It's not even a cube. Yeah. Fuck the GameCube.
It's a bit too high, right? But looking at your PlayStation 4 now, like, it doesn't look... It doesn't look like something that only came out like a few years ago. It looks, it looks like a super old, it's so big.
VCR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they've updated them, and the newer PS4s have rounded edges.
Yeah, they do too. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. That so would be cool be if the square. New console format was VHS tapes.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Would it be cool?
I think it would.
Gonna mm-hmm. feel like that if we're having a stream shit. The other thing with that, with all this stuff, like obviously people currently working on all of this inside of these companies and this E3, the big feeling after it for me has been that it felt very wheel spinny.
Yeah.
It felt like people kind of like, well, here's what we've got for now, but we're like all our actual work is going towards this stuff that's not happening for 2-3 years.
Sure. Yeah. And like Sony obviously specifically were like, look, hey, we're telling you up front, this is what it's going to be, and we're going to try and make that look as impressive as we can, but it's four games, really.
God, so. If I worked at
the fact that they had so few games that they're like, we need a flautist.
Yeah, two live performances.
We've got to move them from one venue to another.
Yes.
If I worked at any of these big video game companies, all I would do all day at work would just listen to podcasts like this of people speculating about what we're doing in there. Just gone fucking idiots. How satisfying would it be? Imagine if you're in Sony, like actually like designing the PS5 right now, and you listen to us going, oh, it should be, oh, it should look like an indoor plant and have googly eyes on it. God, it would be good.
Why did they make it so that the graphics are perfect? I don't get it why they haven't done that yet.
Games should be free, and the console should be free.
It's compatible with all the old PlayStations and Xboxes and Nintendo.
And why don't they have virtual console? Oh, wait, that is actually from...
It should be like Weird Science, where a hot chick comes out of the console and has sex with me. And
is that Stavros 360, your famous video games character?
Oh, I've forgotten about old Stabby.
Oh, I will never forget about old Stabby.
I've only just realized Nintendo didn't fucking talk about their online thing at all.
I know.
At E3. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Well,
those fucking fuckers.
I know. They'll be a direct pretty soon.
You know what they have bothered to fucking put out some information about?
Yes.
You can play Mario Kart 8 with the Labo motorbike handle. Cool.
Yeah. I think that's genuinely quite cool.
That is cool.
It's cool, but it's
one of those things that pisses you off when it's like you with your fucking Amiibos, and I'm walking around there to get my fucking rent, and you're like, I don't have rent money.
Wait,
but
what?
Here you go. I'm your landlord in this situation.
Okay, right.
I walk into the house.
You're the parking inspector. You're like, pay the fine.
We'll go back to the parking.
I want you to make it clear that this is a flight of fancy. I don't want anyone out there thinking that I would ever put myself in a position
this really happened.
Where you are governing where I live.
I own a block of land here in Melbourne. And the 7 people who live there have gotten Legionnaires' disease in the last 2 months. But walk it, and if you saw you with your Amiibos, you'd be like, why the fuck do you have these?
Yeah.
But you haven't paid the parking fine. And that's what this little fun announcement feels like.
It also feels like to me, you know how like they flogged off so many of those like Wii attachments.
Yeah.
They're making you make your own and still pay the same amount of money for it. It's
I do like it for the fact of like you're a parent, you bought this thing to
Hold
make
on.
With your kid.
I'm a parent?
Yeah, you're a parent.
Oh
you are the father.
Oh!
you've bought this kit to make with your kid. You've had a good day with it.
I was trying to remember that guy's name, and I know now it's Maury Povich, but in my head it was like Murray? Murray Povich for some reason was a very funny, like, g'day.
This cunt, you fucking spoofed up her?
Yeah.
This fucking cunt reckons this is his sister, but he's been fucking her for ages and they only just found out, and we're going to try and figure out what the fuck is going on here.
You're the dad, you fucking rat.
You fucking low dog cunt. You've been fucking rooting around on her, and I reckon that's fucked.
This is a good sketch.
Murray Povich.
Yeah, and he's wearing one of those hats with the corks coming off it. He's indoors.
Yeah.
Fucking, g'day, we got some little cunts here. They're going to fucking try and figure out who's fucking who.
Yeah, and they cut live to the kids and they're just in a ball pit at a fucking RSL, in the kids' room. It's just CCTV footage.
I think this is just this is just Poyter.
Pretty more or less,
I think it's just Poyter, but he's hosting Maury Povich.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that, though.
No.
Eric Banner gets all the proceeds from this episode.
Yeah. But
every
yeah.
episode. Little known fact about our show.
Yeah. I mean, he was a big angel investor at the start.
Yes.
He put in $1 million to get this started.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I like the idea that if you've bought this set, you've made all these things with your kid, you've had a good day, but, you know, from all reports, the games on the thing are pretty short-lived. Making the cardboard is pretty fun. you know, maybe they've just been sitting there. It's kind of cool. And they've said they're going to do this with more games too. Mm. Like they'll just be randomly like, hey, cool, now you can get
Zelda.
the motorbike bit out and, you know, have a bit of fun in these games that are kind of more for adults than what was in the Labo kit. I kind of like the repurposing of it over time. I think that's cool.
I think it's totally fine.
And I like that it came out of nowhere too. That it wasn't one of those things where it's like, in 6 months' time, get ready to get the Labo off the shelf.
Yeah.
Nintendo had a couple of things, because we never talked about Pokemon Let's Go, and was there another one?
Pokemon Quest?
Yeah, that came out. Yeah. Have either of you played that?
Yeah, no. I played a bit of it. A friend of the show, Webby, has played a lot of it. He's like fully addicted to it.
Right.
Not necessarily, well, he likes Pokemon, but it's also that real classic mobile game loop of like, do this, collect this, build this up. Wait a bit of time.
And there's always some number to get bigger.
Yes, yeah. Totally, yeah.
And then Let's Go Pokemon, Eevee and Pikachu.
Yeah, so these got all this stuff got announced in a, like the Pokemon company did a conference.
Like a couple days before E3, right?
Yeah, yeah. And they've said that this is separate. They're developing a new Pokemon game for 2019. This is kind of a remake of Pokemon Yellow, like a kind of an HD upgrade, integrating a little bit of stuff from Pokemon Go.
Yes.
And I got to say, when I first watched the trailer, I was like, I am absolutely all in on this. This looks great. Very ready to play an old school Pokemon game that I remember from being a kid, kind of upscaled. But then there's all this stuff in it where, like, when you catch Pokemon in – when you fight Pokemon in the wild, you don't fight them. You just do motion control stuff to throw a Pokeball at them.
Yes.
You only fight other trainers.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, you don't fight Pokemon. Yeah. There's not the thing of like getting their health down. Just a couple more things I've read about it that have put me in the skeptical category,
right,
which is a shame because I think everything else about it looks great.
Yeah. There have been a lot of shithouse Pokemon spin-offs in the past. There's been a lot of that stuff. So, you know, these aren't really surprising.
That's why the Pokeball peripheral is coming out, because it's like all you do.
Yeah. Right.
When I first saw the trailer, I was like, this seems great. Like, get, you know, there's a lot of people who, you know, Switch is sold enough. There'd be a lot of people that haven't played a Pokemon in a while. If they've got a brand new one coming out next year, get people back on board. But this seems like it's leaning a bit too much into the Pokemon Go stuff for my tastes. But
The thing there is that Pokemon Go surely is still extremely popular.
Yeah.
Not as popular as when it launched, but it's got to be making them heaps of money still.
I wonder what the crossover is between the people who are into that and people who have a Switch and are after more and are going to buy that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess it's the same group of people to some extent.
Yeah, smartphone owners.
I mean, I'll probably still get this because it looks like all the core stuff, like the RPG stuff and the fighting at gyms and the fighting trainers and it all looks great. Like, it looks like how I wanted a Pokemon game to look when I was playing it on the Game Boy in, you know, whatever year, 1999. Right.
Yep.
So that side of it is cool. I just don't get why there's like these kind of two seemingly small things that they've just downscaled that actually do make a pretty decent impact on it. But hey, maybe in practice it doesn't matter so much. I don't know. But
I'm still not into the, and I'm willing next year to do my once every 5 years.
Go in on
it. Get on a Pokemon game and go like, oh, yeah, it's this still. Cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of once every 5 years. Kingdom Hearts 3 and Final Fantasy 7, the remake. The lead designer of them, is it Tetsuya Nomura? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
No, yeah, that's it. Tetsuya Nomura?
Nomura,
I think it is, yeah. He was interviewed for, I think, like Italian fucking PlayStation magazine or something.
Dude, the rules on what you can call a magazine over there are very different.
Oh, mi scusi.
Italian fucking PlayStation magazine. You want National fucking Geographic as well with that?
They're a lot more liberal in Europe, you know?
Sure.
Their sexuality and their language.
Time, cunt.
I do love that when a Japanese developer gets interviewed by like a magazine that's not in Japan. It's just like, you know, some European country just get some weird scoop. And so it's like,
yeah, fuck.
Did they not understand what they were being interviewed by? Like, well, was there, did the translator just fuck them up?
Translated a third time into English and get the news from that. And so every time I see one of these, it's like, I don't trust that.
He may have meant the opposite.
He said, can I get my parking validated?
And they said, stop buying Amiibo.
But he said that, like, kind of admitted, Kingdom Hearts 3 and the remake of Final Fantasy 7, we jumped the gun a little bit. We talked about them.
Yeah, they apparently, they announced Final Fantasy 7 and released some, like a little CG tease before he was hired on to direct the game.
Right.
So that,
that's fucking crazy.
That's stupid.
It's a little early, yeah. Yeah.
And it's that, like, yeah, to use it for a marketing push to get your stock numbers or whatever up for that time is very short-sighted.
Sure.
Because then when it seems to be in trouble for years, they come back down, I would have to imagine.
Totally. I'm sure there's people, I know that this is not the norm, but people would have gone, okay, well, I'm getting a PlayStation because I'm eventually going to play Final Fantasy VII on it because that's my favorite game. And then they're now angrier at Sony than they would have been otherwise.
Yeah.
Who is this hypothetical person that you're talking about?
Ben Bunnell.
You can still play Final Fantasy VII, the PS1 version, for like $30.
Yes, you can. You can.
Which is, they're so fucking expensive, all the old games on the PS4.
Yes.
Like stupid prices.
Yeah.
There was a sale on, and it was the GTA games for the PS2.
Mm-hmm.
The three of them for like $30 still on a sale.
Yeah.
Wow. Nuts.
Crazy.
But
crazy town.
Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to be soon.
Yes. Oh.
And the Final Fantasy VII remake will be a PS5 game, it looks like.
I reckon, yeah. Like 2020 to 2022.
It's so weird. Like for him to say that as well. And then Bethesda's thing, which is still, like, the weirdest part of that, their conference, them going like, yeah, one day.
Sure, yeah.
We're going to, this will be a company for at least 10, 20 more years.
Yeah.
So probably.
Yeah.
Anyway, fucking.
Yeah.
See you later.
He's Andrew WK again.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all that really took place after E3. Obviously, a little bit of a news dippy point.
Yes.
Oh, there's also Nintendo are running a Labo design competition where you can win a Labo inspired Switch. Did you see this?
No.
It's like the whole console looks like cardboard.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. It is kind of cool that they're making just like, I think there's like,
it's cool if you like shit things. That's right. My opinion on Nintendo.
I'm not even going to try and defend this story. I think they've made like five. They're running this in like just a few countries or whatever.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, if you win it, you own one of like five of these.
That's cool.
Special edition things.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like even the, you know, there's like the Joy-Cons are colored normally, but like this, like the outside of the screen and everything is like colored as well.
Yeah.
That looks cool.
Cool.
So should we get to this week's big review?
Hey, why don't we serve up a review here of a game we've all been playing and
we all love.
Ah.
Or do we?
Let's take a minute or 15 and set up a game.
Last year,
Dark
I
Souls
turned
Remastered.
Roger Federer.
2 years ago,
Roger Federer.
2 years ago, I turned 30.
Oh, very good.
In 8 years, I'll be 40.
We're going to end this podcast relatively soon because I need to drop a deuce. Mario Tennis Aces came out.
Yeah. Mario Tennis Aces.
Mario Tennis Aces. Who wants to take the first service?
Well, there's three of us. This is going to be complicated.
Mm.
Let's play triples.
Okay.
That would be
us
so fun to play a tennis game of like quintuples. Yeah, just too many people on the court.
Yeah, and maybe like two, three balls as well.
I'm honestly surprised that they haven't introduced that as an option in this game.
Yeah,
yeah. You can only play that way.
Yeah.
That can I? Okay. Let's all go around and say generally positive or negative.
Okay. One word at a time. Like we build a story out of it.
Yeah. Okay.
once.
Twice.
Three times a lady. Yeah. We had to. Okay. Hooray.
Very good. I am mixed.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a bit mixed.
Mixed singles.
Hey, mixed doubles over here. You're both
right.
Mixed.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm trending downward.
Mm-hmm. I'm trending downward by the day.
Yeah.
But I started pretty positive.
Yeah.
First kind of playthrough, jumping straight into the adventure mode as a
weirdest
as it makes
way
you,
to start, too.
A little bit strange.
Very
yeah.
off putting. And immediately. It presents you with what I think is one of the weaker parts of this game.
I would agree with
which
that.
Which is the presentation of that adventure mode.
Yeah.
Yes.
It just puts you in it, too.
Yeah.
It's not like you, when you first boot the game up, you're just thrown straight in.
I don't
you
think
don't
you
even...
can even quit out of it, can you? Maybe you can quit.
Like when it launches you onto the world map for the first time, you can go back into the menu.
Yes. Yeah.
So but this was the part of the game that I was most excited for, to have a story mode back in these games.
I think it's fair to say most people were as well. Yeah.
So first kind of reviews I was reading of it were like, oh, the single mode's a bit of a pushover, pretty easily done. you get through it pretty quickly. I will say in my experience, that's not so much the case. There is some stuff in this that's pretty tricky.
I found a few things pretty tricky. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think it's just because there's so much fucking bullshit
yeah.
that you have yes. to learn about this game, and so much of it isn't tennis.
Yes. Yeah. And I would say some of the tennis aspects, like, say, aiming in general play, where the ball's going to go,
yeah.
say if you were trying to hit something up on a wall, is not precise.
No. Yeah. And it zips you to the ball. Like, it'll if you're far away from the ball and hit the button, it'll kind of just jump you over there. It's so forgiving with that all of it feels completely imprecise, like you said,
yeah. and yeah.
it's built around this. It was kind of what I think we all feared about this game before it came out, that it's built around all this other kind of separate mechanics that they've made that aren't tennis.
Yes.
You like, so let's try and list what you do. So in the adventure mode, you go through all this stuff. We'll get back to that. But in just a one-on-one, here's some tennis.
Yep.
Obviously, you're hitting the ball back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got like forehand, backhand, flat shots, normal shots, fast shots, drop shots, lobs.
Yeah.
yeah,
and you do all of these with the face buttons, and then a combination of the stick going up or down, and X does like lobs or low shots,
drop shots.
And that all works fine.
Yeah.
There's like a different colored streak behind the ball for each one, so you can kind of tell.
It's kind of the same as the past couple of games in the series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
And then...
So through doing rallies and through charging up shots, if you go to hit the shot early enough, you build up an energy gauge.
Yep. Which again was in the previous... Was that in the Wii U one? It was
certainly I never played the Wii U one.
It was in the GameCube.
You can certainly charge up shots in I think in all of them.
Yeah,
but it didn't... It just made your shot... It was just about the power and how deep you were going to send the ball back.
Right.
Rather than adding this charge meter at all.
Well, there was in Mario Power Tennis Wii.
Right.
There was a charge meter and a special shot.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah. And a special return. But that was it. So the stuff we already said, and that was the extent of the Wii version.
Right.
So in this, you build up your energy gauge, and then once it's about, I don't know, what is it, like two,
about a third.
Full? Yeah.
It goes from red to yellow to green.
Yes.
And then blue when it's full up.
You then have the option of either when the ball is coming at you, when you're receiving, there'll be a star on the court. If you get there in time and you hit R...
Only with certain shots, though, with the star.
Yeah.
Like, it won't show up on...
It appears to be almost random.
Yeah, I couldn't really get my head around why it was and wasn't happening.
Oh, really? I think it's pretty much just once your gauge is full, every time it gets... every time the ball goes back to you, you get the option of doing it.
Okay, right. Okay. That might make sense, because I always kind of associated it with maybe they were doing a lob
yes,
or whatever.
Yes, agreed. Completely the same,
no, I think in terms of being able to do the zone thing... Anyway.
Yeah. there's so much more to go.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way, I want to point out the reason we're awkwardly stumbling around trying to describe this is because it gives you a really good idea of how fucking awkwardly stumbly this game feels to play and introduces you to all this shit. And even when you've got your head around it a bit, there's so much going on at once that it's hard to remember. So I want to do this.
Yeah.
We are getting through this description of the mechanics of Mario Tennis.
So when you're... Yeah, when you're receiving, you can to hit the shot back, you can do this zone shot thing that lets you aim. It goes into a first-person view and lets you aim somewhere on the court. And it then sends the shot back super quickly. It's a super powerful shot.
Now, if the opponent's done that and you also have stuff in your meter, you can slow down time to return it.
Yeah.
By holding the same button. And then you also can, if you get it full up, do your special shot, which is just like, it changes from character to character, and it's basically just a big whack.
Just a big smash, yeah.
And then you've also got trick shots on the right stick, which basically send you a long way to any of the directions.
To basically a save, a diving sort of shot.
And then with some of them, it seems to do something slightly different, like Boo will spin around with it or whatever.
Yeah,
they all have kind of like little animations that go along with it, and the idea with them is, like, if you get really good at them, they're a way of building up your energy meter really quickly.
Yeah. Right.
Like, they build up your energy meter quickly than just doing rallies, but they are really, really hard to pull off.
Yeah. Mm.
So when I was playing the demo of this and when I've just played it in free play, I actually don't mind all this stuff. I actually don't mind. I actually kind of like having these mechanics that kind of turn it into a bit more than just a tennis game.
It's closer
which
to
we've
a
played.
Fighting game.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And I kind of like that about it. I think the thing that makes it kind of annoying in practice is I was playing through the offline tournament, so just against the computer.
Yep.
And so certain things of it, like if like once it gets once the sort of CPU difficulty ramps up a bit, you're playing against a computer opponent that is just able to do trick shots willy-nilly. Mm. Now, if you're a human player, and I know this is true of any kind of AI really in games, but it feels a bit dodgier in this, because if I'm playing against you, Ben, like, yeah, you have to get the trick shots, it's so precise.
Now, you said you when you're not playing against a computer.
No, but I'm saying, it took me a few seconds.
Yeah. I calculated that one very quickly.
But, yeah, look, at you really have to be super perceptive and super quick to get that trick shot to go off. That human element of it, like, really does make it person to person, like, quite difficult.
Totally.
But yeah, the CPU can just do it. Like, that element is gone, so it's hard to not have those shots returned back to you via a trick shot and go, well, this is just bullshit, because the computer can just go and do them every time.
A good example of that as well, if it is in fact true that when your meter is built up, every time someone hits a ball to you, you get a star opportunity.
Mm. Yeah.
There's challenges where they're really long rallies.
Yeah.
And there are opponents that build up that meter really quickly so that every time you hit the ball to them, they can smash it back to you.
Yeah.
And it just makes the challenge so much more difficult.
And then the smash, if you do it at the right, if you return it at the right time, it'll cancel out and you'll get it.
Yeah.
And if you hit it but at the wrong time, it'll smash your racket.
Yeah.
Yes.
You've got a certain number of rackets and that's sort of like lives.
Yeah.
And if you run out of them, the whole match is lost.
Yeah, yeah. It's game over.
And there's a lot of stuff. The problem, like, I kind of agree with you that it's kind of like it's interesting at least that they have this all this stuff,
yeah.
And it's this different sort of game, but you can't not have it. It's,
you can.
It's locked in there. Well, like, you can't make it. You can't play a regular game of tennis.
You can.
You can.
You can't make the sets. You can't play the number of normal sets of a tennis.
That
game.
Is true. What
okay,
you can do,
yeah,
you can play. I think it's like a best of two. First to six of the game situation with no special moves. And you can play, I think, a quick play where it's like just first to six.
It's like a
six.
Set or
when
something.
You play online tournament, you can play.
It's a game, I think, yeah.
There's two types of online tournament that you can do, which seems to be the part of this that they're hoping long-term to push pretty hard.
Yeah.
So you can play like regular, but you can also just play a simple match without any of this shit turned on online as a tournament.
Right, but it's
which I did the other night and was a lot of fun.
But then the mechanics of the game, of the tennis parts of it, are so built around having all this other stuff. I don't like zipping to the ball like that.
Yeah.
The way that it puts the spin on the balls feels so, like you said before, imprecise is the word. It's all very kind of built around this other element of it that I don't necessarily think works, because there's some strategy that I get what they're going for of like maybe it's best to keep this long rally going so you can charge up, or maybe you don't want to get the rally going so you like even drop out early because you don't want them to charge out or whatever. I just don't think there's so much weird shit to think about all at once that it's difficult to feel like you're doing an effective job of planning out a strategy, because every time you do something, you're like, oh, fuck, there's also this thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Maybe it just takes ages to get used to that.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really find that hard to get my head around. It was just like the ball's coming at you really fast, so you can slow down to catch it. Or I kind of like the strategy of you with the zone shot, with the being able to aim. Like, you can kind of go, am I going to just try and aim it at them to try and smash their racket, like to wear their rackets down as quickly as I can? Or am I going to try and send it back over to the other side of the court, knowing that they might – like, I kind of liked getting into that kind of thing
and
of it.
Do you want to keep your charge so that if they shoot something at you, you can slow time down and go over there and get it?
Exactly,
so you keep your charge for defensive play and
so there is a bit of every time you're doing stuff back at that person, you're effectively like, you're wearing down – for them to slow down time to get the shot – well, they're having to dip into their meter and wear it down, which is then going to leave you in a position where you've got more of your meter left and you can then do something that they can't counter against. I don't know. I haven't found those bits of it that hard to get my head around. Like, I'm always aware that all the return, the shot, the slowing down and the trick shot are all available to me.
Right.
It's more the challenge I'm finding is just making myself get good at using them all. Like the blocking, the timing of the blocking is pretty hard. But I don't know. I kind of like that that's there. I like that there's this kind of like, to me, it feels like, I don't know. There are still bits of it that feel a little bit, I don't know, but for the moment, and I'm still pretty early on in my playtime with it, that, yeah, I kind of like the idea of, yeah, maybe in a couple of weeks I'll find that I've got these things in balance and I can actually play it really well.
Yeah.
Maybe I won't, and then maybe that'll tell you all you need to know of like, okay, well, it's I've given it as much time as you can and it's still pretty ineffective. But
right.
I'm fine. Like this, all the strategy aspect of it that's on top, and I think you're right that it's just me needing to get used to it,
yeah.
I think is interesting, and it's not a tennis game, but it's interesting. Yeah. It's that I'm finding the controls like too slippery and forgiving, and like they're not really as much of an element in it in the way that they would be in a tennis game about positioning. And like, I don't feel like you can fuck up your positioning on the court easily.
Yeah, I've rarely hit the ball out.
Like, right? Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
I've hit it out a bunch.
Yeah, okay. Well,
yeah.
See, my thing with the extra stuff is that it's really helpful in the adventure mode because there are some stupid arbitrary challenges in it that it's like, oh yeah, cool. It is helpful that I have a zone shot that I can aim exactly where the ball goes.
Well,
it's the only way to beat this challenge.
Yeah, it makes you do well. So yeah, the adventure to go. But let's go back to the adventure mode because it's sort of
there's a big but at the end of that sentence.
Okay, sorry.
I like big buts, and I want to hear this guy. Too many people can't. Whatever.
It's kind of to me like the whole thing where they were saying like, the story mode is back, which I think made everyone think of, you know, Game Boy Color, Mario Tennis that had this like great RPG mode in it. It's not that. To me, it's halfway between like a tutorial that is, I think the idea is by you, the time you've finished it, you kind of have your head around the zone shots and the trick shots and the and all the different types of shots there are.
If anything, I wish it didn't have the story aspect.
Yeah, totally. Yes, so it's halfway between that and then if anyone played Mario Kart on the DS, it had this little challenge mode in it where it would be like, do a lap within a minute or drive around this little course and pick up all these coins, which I think I would kind of like it a lot more if it was framed as that.
Of
like, hey, here's 100%. These dumbass little tennis challenges rather than trying to be like, oh, this is an RPG where you collect new rackets, which it's just, it's so arbitrary, all that stuff.
The way it's presented of the story of these long fucking blocks of dialogue that are just so boringly written, and it's like the little characters showing up sort of like old Japanese RPG style.
Yeah.
Just like them standing there static on the side of the screen doing the one voice clip they have.
Yep.
So if Wario's there, he'll be like, ah! And then he'll say it every time he says something. So you'll just hear ah! Again and again and again.
That the way that's presented is a real letdown. That's really disappointing, especially when they've bothered to have like an overworld map, which is kind of cool. Like
and a couple of like well-made cutscenes.
Yeah, like three. Like
a couple,
There's like the... Yeah, all the rest of it, but just the in-between. And if you fail a challenge, you can't just retry.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
You
have to go back out and then watch the little, thing again.
Like, you have to go out, then back in, but then you can skip it. So it's like, well, there's still another step that shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
I wish that, I kind of wish that that had just been framed as a, just as a challenge, call it challenge mode or whatever.
You mentioned the Game Boy one, which I've also been playing at the moment for our Patreon episode that's coming up. And I think the differences between that and this one and the 64 version too are what's making me annoyed about the tennis parts of this game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because those ones, especially the Game Boy one, were very like you felt like you were deciding where the ball went at all times and that you were responsible for being where the ball's going to be, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just don't feel that with this. The tennis part of it is very lacking.
Yes.
And all the other stuff on top of it, I think, is you're right, there's stuff to it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Arms, where it's like, oh, this isn't really a fighting game. This is about something else.
Yeah.
This is about standing in the right place and stuff like that. But so, yeah, it's disappointing as a tennis game and that you can't, that it doesn't have the option to play a literal game of tennis, really.
So that's
like
my big
but. You can't do the full matches.
The big but that I had is that, like, you have all of this extraneous stuff that's cool for the challenges in the adventure mode.
Yeah.
But what they didn't do properly is the tennis aspect.
Yeah.
And they also, like, to the point where you can't choose how long a game goes for in a simple offline AI tennis
There's
match.
The two settings. There's quick and extended. And extended is first to two.
Yeah, exactly.
First to two ahead.
Extended isn't even a normal... Even a best of three sets tennis match.
You can't pick. you don't get a stage select screen. Yep. You have to like go and go, here are the ones that I want to be available, and you just deselect everything but the one you want.
Can you turn the replays off? Is that fucking annoying?
I don't know. I mean, you can skip them so quickly.
But I know, but it's just this extra thing of like, and it's just presented in this way, like in the tournaments, Toad popping up all the time and being here comes this shot. It's like, get the fuck out of the way, Toad.
So my big kind of caveat with how I feel about this game is, and this could just be wishful thinking, but my feeling on it is, if you look at like, say, ARMS and Splatoon, they kind of refined those games a lot after they came out. They added heaps of stuff to them. Splatoon, they're continuing to add stuff to and tweak and everything like that. ARMS, they kept adding stuff to for ages. I think this, over time, I get the sense that possibly the same thing will happen with this, to the point where in 6 months, like, certain things about it, like the issues that you have with it, Adam, the way the actual tennis feels, probably isn't going to change. But things like not being able to just select how many sets you want to play.
Yeah.
I think surely that's something they're going to tweak and change. And the same with being able to select a court. Like, surely that's going to change.
Yeah.
I think they'll add more stuff to it. I think they'll, you know, you noticed it with ARMS where they kind of were selling it on the idea of motion control, and then people sort of really weren't that into it, so they kind of backed away from that and sort of started to add in more of this kind of just treat it as like a fun fighting game that works good with a controller.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I hope that this is a base that they kind of expand on and, you know, refine a bit more, especially in some of the selection options and stuff like that.
I hope that too, but like the problem is that right now it needs that.
We're reviewing the game now.
Yeah.
And like in a month, I'm probably going to be playing something else on the PlayStation because something comes out every week.
Also, they need to fix the online.
Yeah, I've had a rough time with
that. I have not successfully had a match.
Yeah.
The ones I've had have been fucking laggy and bad.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened to me in the test fire.
Yeah.
It got worse as it went on.
I don't know if I ever talked about it on this. The Street Fighter Anniversary Collection, same problem.
Really?
Online.
Right.
So nobody buy that, I reckon.
Australians don't play online games. The motion control in this was something that I forgot to talk about.
Yeah.
It's no good.
I know. So that looked like it was going to be like just a Mario-skinned version of Wii Tennis, but it doesn't handle that way at all.
If all this game was like the adventure mode that we've talked about and those issues there, but it also had pick the amount of games and sets you want to play and good motion control, then I'd give it a fucking 10 out of 10. That's what I wanted from it. And it doesn't have that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm still playing it. Like, it's good for pick up and go. I don't really have the problems with the handling of the just straight up tennis-y bits that you guys do. Like, I think that stuff all feels good. Like, I like how the characters handle and control. And
I think it feels good in the way that I hold back from using the special moves because I'm getting really good at just normal tennis play.
Yeah.
So it's, I think, maybe a little easy in that sense.
Yeah.
Which is why I find the adventure mode frustrating because the challenges are so arbitrary.
Yeah.
That's the problem that I have with it, is it feels like it's doing a lot of the work for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the actual tennis stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I kind of like that sort of simplistic, like arcadey style feel to it.
Yeah.
Like I played one of the few successful online connections I've had. I played with someone online in just the simple mode, so without any of the zone shots and without any of the trick shots and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it was fun. Like I enjoyed playing it in that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not. I mean, yeah, I was really hoping for this to knock my socks off.
Yes,
and it hasn't. I think there's definitely room for it to do that with, if they do to this what they've done with ARMS and Splatoon.
Yeah,
I think in a few months' time it'll be a really great package.
I reckon this out of all of those three, this could be the game that I actually benefit most from them doing that, and it could win me back over because I really want to like it a lot.
Yeah. I definitely think – I kind of think its strong suit would be four of you on the couch playing a simple match against each other. I think the online – it sounds like they're going to go pretty hard with the tournaments, but especially whatever it is in this country or whatever, like, yeah, the connections I haven't managed to get – I've had one successful run of it online. Adventure mode is – fine to kill a bit of time, but not what we were hoping for. But yeah, I mean, I think that's what the strength of these games has always been, is the four of you on the couch in the same room. Good, fun party game.
Yeah.
Especially if you turn all the crazy bullshit off, if you're playing with people who haven't played it before.
Who did say, especially if you turn all the lights off, and just really get into it.
I mean nothing better.
Who knows what could happen?
Nothing better than a bit of tennis in the dark. But yeah, much else to say?
I think we've covered
Mario
it
Tennis.
All.
Yep. We've covered, yeah. There is a lot in there, but yeah.
I want to like it. I'm going to keep playing it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I really want to like it. And good for Switch. I mean, yeah, I got it and then got a couple of flights and yeah, it's fun to just whip out of the bag and have a couple sets of tennis. Pretty easy going stuff. But yes, certain areas leave a lot to be desired.
Yes.
Game, set, match.
You should have saved that for the very end where you do a catchphrase.
What are you talking about? I have been playing a game.
Yes.
Would you like to hear about it?
I'd love to.
No.
No. Oh,
fuck. Well, split decision. Split.
I'll only tell you, Ben.
Okay.
Tiebreaker.
It's called House Flipper.
Oh fuck. I want to play this game.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Okay, good.
If you haven't heard of it, which I'm assuming is a lot of it, it's what you do is you're a guy who's running a business where you'll go in and fix up people's houses and clean them and install whatever and paint the walls and everything. And it's just you going into these shitholes and clicking on all a bunch of rubbish and it disappears. And it's the most satisfying shit in the world.
What is it? Like, what's it on?
It's on the PC. I think it's only on the PC at the moment. Cool. I'm playing it on that. And
maybe Mac, Steam.
Steam, it's on Steam. I'm not sure if there's a Mac version. You'll have to look that up. You know what? I'll look it up while I'm talking.
But, yeah. It's the kind of game, I'll say, from the sounds of it, that I might go to the effort of boot camping Windows on my Mac just to play.
And it's like, it isn't perfect. It's got it's a pretty cheaply made game. It's got lots of problems with just how the controls feel and the presentation of it and, you know, things like that. It doesn't run amazingly, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? Because the whole point of the game, there are some annoying bits where, so it's very relaxing when you're going with it.
Yeah.
It's moving furniture around and fucking vacuuming up cockroaches.
Oh, yeah.
And shit like that. And it's so satisfying to walk. And you get this email from someone and they'll be like, these students fucked my house up. Go and fix it.
Hell
and you go in and you're like, oh, take down this gross poster.
That's great.
It feels very good to fix stuff up. But then sometimes you will get to a point, there's a little bar on the side where it's like, here's the percentage of how much you've cleaned the dirt or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't be able to find the last bit of fucking dirt.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not obvious. And so that it turns from being this relaxing thing to being very fucking stressful of walking around your house going, I know there's dirt somewhere. I'm going to find it.
Reminds me of the Just Cause games, you go around settlements, little townships and stuff, blowing shit up.
And it has the percentage of destruction.
Yes,
yeah.
And you got to get 100%, otherwise you can't move on. And I'm going to keep parachuting down. I'm looking for it's the same.
Yeah, it's the same thing, except with cleanliness.
Yes,
which is so much nicer. you really just walking around the house after you've cleaned it up and going like, oh, fuck yeah, but this place smells
this rules.
Great. And so you're cleaning the windows. That's another bit that, the way that controls just doesn't feel good.
Right.
The window wiping thing. And there's this annoying squeaking sound.
Yeah.
Because I've just been putting it on with the music off, listening to podcasts.
Yep.
And it is just fucking great.
Nice.
I kind of wish it went more in depth with let me wipe those benches down.
Yeah.
Because you just get this generic mop and the dirt texture disappears slowly.
Right.
And whatever. Installing the fixtures is great because you can tell
you're approaching 30, man.
Yeah.
You get a toilet or a sink or whatever and you got to screw it in and you do every individual little fucking lug nut.
You go
through and you have to click and hold in to push the washer in.
The game that makes you go,
it's so fucking good for I feel like I'm drooling when I'm playing it.
Yeah,
just because my brain is like, we can turn off.
That's the same effect on me that Wait, it has the same effect on you that city building games have on me.
Right, yeah.
Which is that little, like, making everything connect up, all the roads work, all the power lines, and it's, yeah, it's that sort of same philosophy, I think.
So there's a couple of weird bits where, like, you'll see in the loading screens and stuff just these photos of homeowners and whatever saying things about what they want with their house.
Yeah.
And some of them will be like, one bathroom's enough for me, and just little things like that where you're like, all right, mate. And sometimes you'll get, like, a guy in a gas mask and he's like, I need more guns to protect myself.
Jeez.
It's very, very strange with that stuff. But most of it is just walking around. And so at some point, and I've played it for like 4 hours, and I'm not up to this point yet. You go in with a shit house and you clean it up and you renovate it. And according to how well you've done that, you can sell it for X amount.
Right.
Which is where the house flipping comes in.
Right.
But at this point, I'm just doing odd jobs for people who are like, oh, there's a baby on the way. Can you knock this wall down so we can have a bigger bedroom so the baby can sleep in here? Stuff
so
like that.
You assume like at some point you like pick paint colors and shit like that?
You do already pick paint colors.
Oh, baby.
But it's paint colors that people have asked for.
Right.
So at this point, I'm doing the work for other people, but eventually you get to a point where you're doing the work for yourself,
right?
And according to the aesthetics that you choose for the house,
that's how much you
sell
it
on.
Oh man, this sounds
so good.
I genuinely want to do this for a living after having played this game.
It's a little bit less easy in real life.
Yeah,
it is on Mac OS X.
Excellent. Oh, wow. I'll be playing that ASAP.
It's. Like, don't expect heaps, but it's like $16.
Mm, great.
And it's $16 US at the moment because there's a 20% off sale.
Okay, excellent.
Nice.
And it's just like, it's so simple, but so just, it's the house building mode of The Sims mixed with like...
The Bunnings Warehouse paint picking app.
Just scrubbing your sink.
Yeah.
As well, yeah.
Yeah,
it's,
awesome.
It feels very good
to
clean up a house.
Nice.
I'm going to play that. I've never even heard of it.
Yeah. I did. Someone mentioned it on one of the groups we're in, and I was like, fuck, that sounds like my absolute favorite thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've played a few games. We probably should save the ending of Far Cry 5. For another week.
I am still very early on in that game, yeah.
Oh, so. Well then, definitely in another week.
But I can try and put some effort into that if we want to do a spoiler.
Yeah, I reckon it's worth talking about a little bit more as a whole as well, because I think it's a really good game. But the ending is, worth discussion. I've been back into Horizon Zero Dawn because I never finished it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I'm going to say, even, you know, compared to games like God of War, and Far Cry 5, I think Horizon Zero Dawn is the most visually amazing game that's been made so far.
It was very good looking.
Yeah.
It looks incredible.
I got a handy benefit of the Switch. All my stuff is in storage.
Ah, yeah.
But I can still play Nintendo games, mm-hmm. which is cool.
Yeah, I played one, Yoku's Island Express.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking great.
Yeah, I finished it while I was away.
Yeah, yeah, nice. I think, yeah, you've talked enough about it on this pod. I'll say it's fun. I'm I think, a bit dumb in the Metroidvania aspects of, like, mm-hmm. I just get stuck and it takes...
I got stuck a lot in this game.
Yeah, okay.
To do a lot of just kind of, like, rolling around and just
like
kind of...
you get lost and just sort of... Or don't know what to do next.
Don't know what to do next.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it was a lot of the time I knew what to do next, because you can zoom out on the map and see like where you're meant to go, but if you haven't uncovered the paths there yet, it's just surrounded by kind of blank space.
It's that fog of war from, you know, like Warcraft games. It's just all, fog.
So right. Knew where to go, but just didn't know how to go. So kind of having to kind of just muddle around in the area nearby and just hope that I... And then... All of a sudden, you'd accidentally just fall down a thing, and it's like,
yes.
Oh, fuck, I haven't been here before.
Totally.
And then you're just on, and you're in a loop for, you know, whatever, half an hour, or however long it takes to clear that area.
Yes, and when you get to that next bit and you do it, it's really satisfying.
Yes.
It's super satisfying.
But, yeah, definitely recommend that to anyone who hasn't picked it up, because, yeah, great platformer with different mechanics and, just super fun.
Good art style, good music.
Great art style. Yeah, music really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that game.
Mm.
I finished Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze.
Oh, very
while
nice.
I was away.
Had you finished it before on the...
No.
Right.
No, I think I'd only gotten up to three or four.
Right.
The underwater bit.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I love it. I don't really care for the bosses, in the sense that I don't care for the bosses in really any games.
Right.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Fuck the man. Fuck all that corporate shit, dude.
My thing with bosses in general is that you're like, I don't know, a lot of the times it's, you're having a lot of fun with, like, I think Donkey Kong is at its best when you're just like blazing through these levels, like rolling around, like a lot of speed.
Yeah.
And then these bosses are all, they're well designed, but at the end of the day, you are just memorizing a pattern and they go for very long.
They really do.
And you're
do,
then
yeah.
just stuck on this screen for a very long period of time.
The seal and the polar bear I found especially tedious.
Which is just not what I enjoy about that game.
Yeah.
I like the bosses in Celeste where they're these big characters that are chasing you around a level. So this, you've still got that movement and that momentum, but you're kind of having to like navigate this person that's chasing you and kind of work out how to take them down in the context of still kind of doing a level. Mm. But yeah, I also finished Kirby, which has... Man, it honestly, if you're not going to play it, at least look the last boss up on YouTube. It turns into like a Star Fox style sort of shooter where you're like kind of three-dimensional flying through space.
Right.
Just out of the blue, turns into basically a different game.
Fuck.
And it's so fun. Like it comes out of nowhere. It's my favorite end boss I've ever done. Huh. And like still has that... Yeah, it's not just pattern recognition. It's just like this full action, crazy fucking Gundam style thing.
Right.
Just completely caught me by surprise.
Wow.
And made me like that whole game a lot more because I enjoyed that so much.
Fuck.
Look it up. It's fucking wild.
Okay.
It's the most bizarre design choice for the end of a game like that.
All right.
A cutesy little platformer that has been extremely easy and low key up until that point.
Fuck.
Kirby Star Allies. Yeah. So give finished those two on the plane. That's about it. I've been playing Sushi Striker as well.
Oh yeah.
Lot of fun puzzler. Not really changed any thoughts since playing the demo of it, but yeah, cool style, crazy little anime plot. Linking up the stuff is very satisfying.
I still think I might try and look for that on the 3DS.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's clearly been designed for that, so I think that's not a bad...
I'm going to have to get that thing out to play WarioWare anyway, so...
Oh,
that's probably enough till next week. I want to talk about you and Bloodborne, Ben, but I think it's probably going to take longer than...
Yeah.
Might go back and play some more of that to get my thoughts straight so I can lambast you.
Yes, that's fine.
I haven't had any time to play it yet. I think it's been out for like a day, but that Mario Rabbids DLC, that's out, baby.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah. Yeah. Okay, we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to sinking some time into that. Crash Bandicoot is out on the Switch on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm looking forward to purchasing again and actually playing this time around.
Yes.
I'm trying to think what else is out in the next week. Those are the two big ones on my radar.
That vampire game came out before went away.
Oh, I, Jurassic Park Evolution.
Dinosaur Park.
Yeah, Dinosaur Town. That's out. It's $90 on the PlayStation Store.
Everything's fucking stupid expensive on that.
Yeah, so if I can drop by a JB Hi-Fi before next episode, I'll grab that and I'll play it
because
I want to. That vampire one, it's just a bit expensive for it being kind of just worth talking about on the show. But I think
it definitely seems like a slightly more up my alley game. But
There's a demo of Captain Toad in the eShop on Switch.
Oh yeah, I've downloaded it.
Which is a good ass time if you've never played it.
That's a fucking sick game.
I think you'll be won over by it pretty quickly if you've never played it.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
Cool. Well, right. we'll find out.
We will find out.
Yes.
How's that for bloody sizzle? We got a bunch of stuff coming up, don't we?
Yeah.
Look at us busy little bees.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Oh,
yeah.
We should...
live show.
Yeah.
Live show coming up July 14 at the European Beer Cafe.
Mm. Of 4 p.m.
Of a Saturday afternoon. Three very kind boys.
Yes.
Getting up there and absolutely doing it to you.
Yes.
With comedy.
Yes.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. Stick around and say hey afterwards. We'll be, we'll be up the back holding court, just up for a chat. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I boring you?
I started yawning. I'm a nightmare before my coffee.
This isn't even the last thing you're doing tonight.
No.
You're yawning.
I'm tired.
Patreon, chip in. Thanks for supporting the show if you already do so. If not, I mean, get that checkbook out.
Yeah.
Scribble on down a few zeros there. We'd really appreciate it.
That's it.
New ep coming up soon on the Patreon. We're talking Mario Tennis, all the old ones.
Yes.
Yes, that's all we need to say. Filthycasuals.com.au for all the info, links to the socials and all that kind of stuff. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
a game set match.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.